You may also know that Alberta's energy industry, the oil sands particularly, are producing more than ever before, right? And profits are soaring and revenues are way up. So both things can't necessarily be true, and how you square that circle is entirely up to you. But one thing we do know for sure is all that extra revenue, all those profits that we hear about, it's not making a huge difference to us here in Alberta, at least not yet. So let's try and find out why. We're going to chat with Charles St. Arnaud, who is a chief economist with Alberta Central. Charles, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate you joining us.
Good morning, Shay.
So when we talk about this, I mean, the oil industry in Alberta, of course, a boom and bust business. We know that. These are decidedly boom times once again, right? Things are going very well in the oil patch.
Well, I think it's how you describe the boom that's the difference, is that, yes, we're reaching record levels of revenues in terms of value of production. We've been producing since the beginning of the year for about $12 billion per month. As a comparison, in 2014, in the previous boom, the maximum we produced in a month was $7.7 billion. So it's a big difference in terms of the value. Yet, we're not really feeling the impact on the broader economy. I don't think the economy feels as effervescent as it was back in the mid-2010s.
No, you're right. There's a very, very different feeling. So when we see these massive revenues, like you say, larger than we've ever seen, where is it going? Where is that money ending up right now?
Well, I think in one part is there's a greater share of those revenues that are being returned to shareholders, both in terms of dividends and share buybacks. So to give some numbers, right now, oil producers are returning about 10% of their revenue. So roughly the producers I was looking at, it's about $20 billion that they returned to their shareholders last year, over the past year. The same producers in 2014 were returning 4% of their revenue, so about $4.5 billion. So it's almost four times more that they're returning to shareholders right now. And those shareholders are not based here in Alberta. Actually, 75% of those shareholders on average are actually foreigners. So it actually, in some ways, explains what you were talking about earlier about the Canadian dollar. Usually, the Canadian dollar appreciates with higher oil prices, but they did it in the same magnitude because, well, it's money in and money out. So the money doesn't stay in the country, so the dollar doesn't appreciate.
The reasons for that, and I'm sure there are many, when we take a look at why it's not being reinvested and why there isn't expansion and all the things that people have been talking about, what's going on?
Well, obviously, there's also the fact that you can see that the share of revenues being reinvested in their operation is much smaller than it was back in 2010. So right now, they're reinvesting about 7% of their revenues. In 2014, it was 25% of their revenue. So that means that you probably have a much smaller share that of what is being returned. But also what's important is the type of investment that's being done is also different and has a very different economic spillover to the rest of the economy. And what I mean by that is that in the mid-2000s, or even the previous boom like in the 2000s, is that oil demand was strong, prices were high, producers wanted to increase production at all costs. So they were developing new projects, starting new oil sand mines, which use a lot of capital early in the process. It takes tens of billions of dollars at the start of the project to build the mine. So you need to hire workers to clear the land, build the roads, build the infrastructure, get the machinery. So there's a lot of other sectors from construction to manufacturers that are actually getting some, that are being pulled higher from those investments. But right now, the investment we're seeing is efficiency gains. How can we squeeze more oil at lower cost? How can we produce the same barrel of oil with a much smaller carbon footprint, because that's what will matter in the future. It's not increasing production, because every forecast of global oil demand you can look at, they all seem to say early 2030 will peak in terms of oil demand and we'll start to see global demand declining. So there's not that need for the big increase in production. So those efficiency gains are what will allow those producers to be viable in the long term.
So it's not, I mean, I was going to ask, sometimes these kinds of actions are temporary in order to, you know, sort of improve the bottom line, and then they'll start considering more expense. But you're saying this is sort of the pattern that we should expect to continue, just given on where we are in terms of global demand and all the rest and where we're headed.
Yes. Like, I'm not saying that it's a permanent shift. It's that we know there'll be less demand from oil in the latter half of 2030 and beyond. So there's no need to increase production, but there will still be a need for oil.
Yeah.
But the person who will be supplying that oil, or the company that will supply that oil, will be the most efficient, and that's where the investment money is going to.
Okay. The situation in Europe, does that play into this at all? I mean, that seems to be a factor, especially when it comes to energy in our world right now. Does that affect any decision-making here?
I think there's two ways of seeing it. One is that it created a big surge in demand for Canadian energy in the very short term, because we have the capacity to increase production. We don't necessarily have the infrastructure to do it.
Yeah.
So that's where it kind of positive in the short term. But in the long term, producers or countries in Europe are not seeing or are seeing the issue or the kind of energy crisis that they're seeing as a way to, well, the way to solve it in the long term is to reduce their dependence on foreign energy. So they're increasing, and you see it with decision from various governments, they're increasing domestically produced energy. I think the big example has been the gradual turnaround in Germany to keep a nuclear power plant open longer, and more discussion of restarting other ones. We have the same discussion in France. So actually, the war in Ukraine may actually accelerate some of the transition away from fossil fuel.
Well, we've heard that talk from a number of leaders, yeah. Very interesting discussion, Charles. Thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate you being here.